Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is Alan Sliwa, host of the Lakers pre- and post-game, Lakers Talk and the Sliwa Show. I'm here with Brad Wallace, one of the top personal injury trial lawyers in the game. Brad, tell our listeners why they need to call the Wallace Firm when they get hurt.
Alan, I'll put my courtroom record up against any other lawyer on the radio. We focus on getting our clients top results. You won't see my face on billboards and won't hear me play an annoying jingle. If you get injured, you need a real trial lawyer, not a marketing guy.
Call the Wallace Firm now, 844-844-WINS, or visit WallaceWins.com today.
All right. Appreciate everybody tuning in. Thank you to Mike Trudell from Spectrum Sportsnet for hopping on. So one of the conversations I think that I went over a little bit earlier, Shaq's greatest moments. And as I go over Shaq's greatest moments, we start looking at some of the different top-notch moments in Lakers history. I was talking about that 2000 game versus the Portland Trailblazers. You heard Trudell talking about it a little bit as well. So this is what I want to ask Laker fans out there. I'm going to put this up on Twitter right now. Which game was more stressful, that Game 7 versus Portland in 2000 or that Game 7 versus the Boston Celtics in 2010? I mean, when I think about it, obviously those were very stressful games for Laker fans, but both were very, very meaningful. I mean, I know initially we could just kind of jump out and we could say, oh, well, the 2010 against Boston, because it's the Boston Celtics and you were winning an NBA championship. I get that. I completely 100% understand that. But at the same time, I think I could kind of throw in, those are some nerve-wracking moments. That 2000, that's the first one Shaq and Kobe won. It's the first one they won together. And who knows what the history would have been if the Lakers lost that Game 7 to the Blazers. That's one of those games where I knew where I was. I knew who I was watching the game with. You had all the details that were already there. You had the details because it was that big of a game. So 877-710-ESPN. If you guys want to chime in on the show, would love to hear from Laker fans that are out there. By the way, if you've never called into a sports radio show, call in. These are now the perfect time to start chiming in and giving your thoughts about everything on the Los Angeles Lakers front. So I just put it up on Twitter. I'll keep you guys posted as the show goes. Funches, what would you say? I mean, think about those two series, how incredibly stressful watching the Lakers versus the Portland Trailblazers was back in 2000, and then how incredibly stressful 2010 was against the Boston Celtics.
Honestly, going back to 2000, Alan, I didn't think the Lakers had a chance because that Blazer team was loaded. Loaded.
Blazer team was loaded. And
loaded.
Like seven,
literally three deep at every position.
How many players can you name off that team? Let's think of how many we could do off the top of our head.
I could do Sabonis.
Rasheed Wallace.
Sabonis.
Okay.
Scottie Pippen.
Damian Stoudemire.
Greg Anthony.
Greg Anthony. Steve Smith.
Jim Jackson. I think Jim Jackson was on that team, right?
I don't think Jim Jackson was on that team. Detlef Schrempf was on that team.
Yes, that's right.
Bonzi Wells,
that's right.
Okay, ready? Rasheed Wallace, Jermaine O'Neal.
This is like, and it was like a rookie Jermaine O'Neal before he got really, really good.
I mean, that's a lot of big time
players.
Like
I told you, stack.
So it was stacked, but at the same time, it's Game 7, it's here in Los Angeles. I think that one, you know, it's kind of crazy. I don't know which of those two. I mean, there's something about Kobe and Shaq's first one together, and there's something about Kobe's last one, and it comes against the Boston Celtics. Like, think about how symbolic those are.
Yeah. To get the championship off the Boston Celtics is always a one notch on your belt.
All right. I think more people are going to go Game 7 versus the Celtics. I think that's what we're going to get here. Right out the gate, Boston 68%. Okay, so Brian Windhorst, who kind of has continued to give us the latest on the NBA front. He's always I had him on Friday on the Sliwa Show, and we were just talking about, okay, what's going on right now in the league? What's going on in the NBA? What is kind of the latest between some of the conversations between the owners, the players, and so forth? So – Here's Windhorst on a little bit earlier today on Get Up with Mike Green, talking about the NBA trying to do everything they can to obviously figure out a way to play out this season. So this is kind of a similar theme that Brian was explaining to me of how much the league is watching what's going on in China, what's going on in the KBL, the Korean Basketball League as well. So those are countries that are further ahead on the COVID-19 than we are. We're about, you could say, 3 months behind from China, and really the rest of the world is 3 months behind from China. So the reason why the NBA and Brian Windhorst, everybody's kind of keeping an eye what's going on in those leagues, is because we could potentially learn so much from what's happening in China, what's happening in South Korea. And the way it kind of sounds like, and I've said this and I've heard John say this a couple times as well, Ireland say this, the league is going to do everything in its power to try and get a season done. And they'll do everything they can to crown a 2020 champ. And I know that there's all these different ideas that are being floated around. I completely understand all the different predicaments out there. It's going to take a long while for things to eventually kind of we get more answers than questions. I guess maybe that's the best way to put it. But I'll tell you this from a fan perspective, and I'm sure a lot of fans feel this way. I can only speak for myself. How it gets done, where it gets done, with fans, no fans. I mean, you could play out every single scenario that you're thinking of. I don't care. I mean, if as long as the Lakers have a chance to be crowned a champion in 2020, that's the only thing that matters to me. And whether that happens in September, it happens in May, it happens in June, July, I don't think most fans, you know, really care about that. We're all just hoping that this country gets COVID-19 under control, the testing gets out there, and we just make progress on it. And then if down the road we get a chance to play Lakers basketball, you know, obviously that'd be fantastic. So we'll see what happens. We'll continue to – anything that comes out from Brian Windhorst or Adrian Wojnarowski, we'll continue to update you guys on that as well. All right, Shootout coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. All right, celebrate friends and family with the world's finest tequila, ultra premium, small batch, Sincoro tequila. There are good tequilas, there are great tequilas, and then there's Sincoro tequila. Hopefully MT tried his Sincoro tequila. Now available on drizzly.com and reservebar.com for convenient at-home delivery. Sincoro tequila, official sponsor of the Los Angeles Lakers. That's a great jam right there, Funches. Already a buck and a half in, still got an hour to go. Appreciate everybody that's tuning in. Funches, how are you doing, buddy?
Good, man, good. It's a little lonely here, though. I'm like literally the only guy at the station.
So, that's right. So, the entire Mason and Ireland show, you're in the studio by yourself, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so for those that don't know, let me kind of set this up here. Typically, we would have five people in for Mason and Ireland. You count some social people, let's say six people, right? You're there by yourself, pretty much holding it down. And then you don't have 2 seconds to take a deep breath because Lakers Talk starts right after it and you hop on. So I appreciate it.
Literally, I don't have time to go to the bathroom sometimes.
Jesus. That's where we're at, man. It's kind of the world that we're living in, but I appreciate you doing what you're doing. Let's get some Shootout started. All right. As we always say, Funches, as we always talk about, and as I open up the email to read the proper verbiage here, Shootout is presented by the Wallace Firm. Quick attention to Southern California business owners. During the COVID-19 pandemic, businesses are being decimated in an unprecedented way. Many businesses have insurance to cover for this, but insurance companies are wrongfully denying their business interruption claims. Call Brad Wallace at the Wallace Firm. They'll give you a free consultation, 844-844-WINS, or visit wallacewins.com. Let's do it, Funches.
Thank you, Michael Thompson.
Oh, MT in the house. By the way,
outside.
Let me tell you something about MT. Every time I tell MT, hey, you want to hop on, talk a little sports, talk a little Lakers basketball, football, whatever the case is, MT doesn't hesitate. So
yeah.
You know MT misses coming into the studio and talking sports.
Yeah, he's always there for us, which I always love. All right. Well, last Saturday, March 28th, was sort of an anniversary for Michael Jordan, Alan. As on this day back in 1989, he dropped a career-high 69 points on the Cavs. And also on that day, back in 1995, was his infamous double nickel game in Madison Square Garden, where in his fourth game back from his first retirement, he scored 55 points versus the Knicks.
Jordan was a bum.
Yeah. Now, Alan, what was more an important, impressive MJ feat, the 69 points or the 55 points in his fourth game back from retirement?
I'll go 69 against Boston. That was the stage in Boston, and everybody knew how good Jordan was. But here are the Boston Celtics, right? This is a team that
I'm
was
sorry to say
up.
This, but it was the Cavs. He scored 63 in a playoff game against the Celtics.
Oh, yeah,
69
yeah.
was against the Cavs.
I would say this. Well, okay, so, oh, the Cavs was a shot over Elo or no?
No, it was not. It was just a 69, career high 69 points.
So 69 versus 55 coming back. I'll still go 69.
Really?
I'll still go 69.
Why does everyone say that? I think the most impressive feat was him scoring 55, like literally, Allen, 2 weeks before he scored 55 points. He was like in a batting cage.
Michael Jordan. How the heck did this guy do it? How about this guy just took off? I remember actually Terry Francona, remember manager of the Red Sox
now, I think the
Indians. I remember that. Maybe it was the 30 for 30 on Jordan. Remember the 30 for 30 came out?
Yeah,
and it had nothing to do with
baseball.
Basketball.
Yeah, the baseball one.
Exactly. And Francona said that if he would have stayed in the minor leagues and just kind of kept working on his game, he talked about how quickly he was becoming better and better. His timing was better. His hitting was becoming better. His instincts in the outfield was improving as the season went along. Talked about how he thought, you know, he'd have a legitimate chance to make it in the majors. And maybe even he was referring to if, like, that's all he played was baseball. But no, he just stopped there and went and won three more championships.
Yeah, in the NBA. I mean, I think Francona said that, like, in his second year, which would have been his second year if he would have just kept on playing baseball, he would have made a major league roster and he would have did some damage. But he decided, hey, I'm going to go back and play some ball and win three more titles.
He was a bum. By the way, I'm just kind of leak it out a little bit.
What's that?
Looks like that Jordan documentary might be coming a little sooner.
Come and save the day, Jordan.
Might be coming a little sooner. We'll talk about it at 8:15.
Okay,
keep going.
Cool. Okay. All right, got a tweet from Shams from Yahoo. The NCAA has decided not to grant athletes from winter sports, including basketball, an extra year of eligibility due to the coronavirus pandemic. Spring sport athletes were granted an extra year. So basically, the NCAA will not let the football players and basketball players this year get an extra year. Is that unfair to the kids, Alan?
I don't think anything NCAA does is fair to the kids.
Nothing.
So it's that's a tough one for me to swallow. You know who's got such a open opinion? Jay Billis has such a great opinion on everything coming to NCAA. And I listen to him a lot. I mean, I take his word for it. He covers college basketball. He's been around the game for a long time. So I'm sure this guy has incredible insight on what's going on behind the scenes in college basketball. So I'm sorry, just college sports in general. I've never been a fan of watching these college players who are over the age of 18 years old, who are old enough to go fight in a war, who are old enough to go get jobs somewhere else, sell out 90,000 seat stadiums and not get a penny for it. And people want to say, okay, well, they're also getting their education paid for. I get that. The education is paid for, but that's not enough. They're making way too many people way too much money that they should be getting some piece of the pie. So I'm not surprised by the news that the NCAA, you said, are you disappointed? I'm not disappointed. It's expected for the NCAA to do things that, in my opinion, are not always in the best interest of the
students. Well, I just thought the NCAA might just give the fall athletes, you know, a little bit of leeway since they did it for the spring athletes. And then, like, you know, just to say that this continues on and keep on going into October or November, like, that's cutting into the kids' year.
Well, you know, Kirk Herbstreit said last week he talked about how he thinks there won't be a college football season and there won't be an NFL football season. Yeah. I mean, he's saying, how are you going to just all of a sudden go back to games? And, you know, this was obviously his opinion, his perspective. But, hey, you're right. If this leaks into September, October, November,
We don't know how long it's going to last. We have no idea how this is going to last. We've been hearing, the end of April. We've been hearing May, June, but it could go on to August, September, October. We don't know.
Right now, I'm on pace to put on 60 pounds.
Yeah, me too, man. I think I gained 20 pounds in the last 2 weeks.
You had room to spare. I didn't. I was already on the edge.
Ah, come on, man. Yeah, MT, I did too.
All right.
Now, Yahoo's Chris Haynes is reporting that the NBA is to launch a players-only NBA 2K tournament scheduled for Friday, and it will be broadcast on a major network. Now, Haynes also said that each team will have a gamer representative, so like the Lakers could have like Alex Caruso or Anthony Davis or Quinn Cook be their representative. Alan, will you be watching the NBA 2K tournament this Friday?
So a player is playing, right?
Yeah, a player will be playing against another player from another team.
Okay, so they have to be significant players, right?
Yeah.
Like if
I don't know. If I'm the Lakers, I just pick my best video gamer.
If Kyle Korver is playing versus I don't know. I can't think of another player off the top of my head, but if they're two players that are not that good, I'm probably not going to watch it.
Yeah,
but
if
AD is playing
against like Giannis,
Damian Lillard, I'm watching that game.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, I think that would be fun if it's some of the premier players. I know what you're saying. If they're not gamers, then you want your best gamers out there. The problem is, if they're not big names, are you going to watch?
I just like watching basketball simulations as it is because I'm like a nerd like that. But, I mean, I don't know, man, because on Friday, I think I have a lot more other stuff to watch.
Well, listen, I'll say this. I'm not much of a gamer, so I'm not out playing. I mean, back in the days when I was in college, I was playing Mario Kart and FIFA, all right? Mm-hmm. You want to go back to FIFA 2000 with me and Thierry Henry on France? You got no shot against
with
me.
With David
okay,
Beckham
Funches?
On England?
But, like, I'm not a big gamer, but I know that there's an incredibly humongous market who are gamers. So maybe this is kind of can bridge the gap a little bit. You got gamers that will watch it just because they're already gamers, but then you might have a casual fan like me that's a fan of the NBA but might watch some of these games simply because, okay, we don't have anything else, and these are NBA players that are playing. I think the concept is interesting. I actually really think the concept is interesting.
I'm sort of a video game snob, too. These guys have to be, like, kind of good, too, because I don't want to see, like, a 10-2 game.
No, you're right. It's got to be – but I think they'll – I have a feeling there are a lot of players in the leagues, NFL, NBA. Like, I feel like they play or at least it always feels like they play. What was the game everybody was playing? Josh Hart? Fortnite, was it called?
Yeah, Fortnite.
Fortnite. I felt like every time I follow Josh Hart on Twitter, every time I saw Hart, I felt like it was something about a video game.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're players that play.
Yeah, if the guys can play, I'll watch. But if not, then I'm watching Tiger King on Netflix again.
All right, your favorite old school game?
Favorite old school game? Oh, man. Bulls versus Blazers on Super Nintendo.
Bulls versus Blazers.
Yeah, yeah. Even had the Lakers on there. I think our own Michael
Johnson. Was that the Clyde Drexler days?
Yeah,
Jerome.
Yeah,
Kersey?
And then like literally Tom Chambers, who was on Phoenix, can like dunk from the 3-point line.
I remember that. Okay. All right. My favorite game. Gosh, which one's better, FIFA or Mario Kart?
Ooh.
Mario Kart was addicting in college.
Yeah, it was. It was.
People are like, hey, let's go out. I'm like, why don't we just play some Mario Kart? What do you guys think?
A couple beers and let's play some Mario Kart, right?
You know what other game was? GoldenEye.
GoldenEye, man. That was the greatest, man.
I had to have the bullet that killed on the first shot because if not, I had no chance.
Cheater.
I had no chance.
Cheater.
Well, it's not even cheater. It's like I had no shot unless I had that gun. All right, let's keep going.
No, MT, I have not, and I don't think I ever.
By the way, who was he talking about when he said that? Was he talking about LeBron or Dwight?
He's talking about like maybe two or three people, and I can name one of them right now. Adrian Peterson,
okay.
LeBron.
No, but I meant Dwight.
Maybe Dwight, too, but those are the guys that come to mind.
Oh, MT. I got to get MT on this week. Yeah. He's great, too, because he loves. So
he's so bored at home.
That part's true, but he loves multiple sports,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, like, you could talk football with him. You could talk about baseball with him. Talk about basketball. He's very knowledgeable
and
everything.
And let me tell you, like, he's, like, the best Twitter follower ever. Like, just seeing his stuff on Twitter, it just makes you laugh. It puts a smile on your face every day.
His spelling alone is worth it. Yeah.
All right. So Brian Windhorst was on his podcast when he said this about the Brooklyn Nets job. One of the things that have been expressed sort of through the grapevine that the way I'm going to say to protect myself from the aggregators is that Durant and Irving, Kyrie Irving, would like a blue chip coach. I don't know what this says about the way they thought about Atkinson, but they want a big name coach.
Okay.
Now, who should be the new coach in Brooklyn whenever we get it going?
I'm going to roll the dice on this one.
Yeah.
Throw Mark Jackson in there.
I like that. I like that.
Let Mark Jackson get
I like
a
that.
Shot. I think the names that were coming up when the season was still going, because you remember when they played Brooklyn in that final game,
yeah,
Kenny Atkinson had just got fired maybe a couple days before that.
And Brooklyn won, too.
Exactly, Brooklyn won. But, yeah, that's right. Who was the interim coach?
Jacques Vaughn.
All right, so the names that were brought up, I remember doing the pregame show. Brad Turner was there. Michael Thompson was there. We were throwing around names. The two names everybody kind of stuck on was Ty Lue and Mark Jackson. Those were the two names that kind of kept coming up.
I got that. I also got one more name for you, too. Jeff Van Gundy. I think Jeff Van Gundy might be good in that market. He's from, you know, he had success in the New York area, and he still commands respect from the players.
So that's an interesting name. That's another good name to bring up. How long has it been since Van Gundy coached?
Man.
That's been a while, right? Over 15 years, you think?
Yao Ming was playing.
That's right. That's right.
Yao Ming T-Mac was on his Houston team.
Well, listen, if they want a big-time coach with a big name, I think any three of those coaches will garner the big name part.
Yeah.
And you knew when Atkinson got let go, that definitely is player power saying, no, we have a different direction that we want to go
in. It's definitely Ty Lue's and Mark Jackson's job to lose, I'd say. MT. All right, I'm finishing off.
Can you play that one more time?
yes.
Thanks,
yes,
MT.
Yes.
Thanks, MT.
So I'm finishing off Shootout with a story from LeBron as he was doing a IG Q&A last week. And since he was bored like the rest of us, he was asked what team would he never play for. And this is what he said. Allen, are we getting LeBron for the rest of his playing career?
Oh, no question about it. You know, he signed a four-year deal with the Lakers. This is the second of those 4 years. By that point, he would be 37?
Yeah.
37 years old, something along those lines. I think we got LeBron the rest of the way. His family looks comfortable, feels comfortable, it looks like, at least in Los Angeles. This is what it all comes down to.
You got Bronny playing at Crossroads.
This is what it comes down to. Can we get a chip in LeBron's tenure with the Lakers? That's all that matters, you know? And you know what's crazy? When I had Windhorst on Friday, and just listening to Windhorst a little bit earlier today from Get Up, this is such a critical year for the Lakers as far as like their chances to win a chip. This was their opportunity, and I know bigger things are obviously happening in the world, so let's it is what it is, but he's at a stage of his career where this might be the best chance to win a championship, but I think LeBron's going to stay here. And I know which team. There's one team that LeBron will never play for. What team do you think that is?
The Cavs. No?
No. I think Cavs, he could definitely end his career there if he decided like at 38 or 37, hey, I'm going to have like a farewell tour. I think he could do it there.
Knicks.
What's the one team you think? I think the Celtics.
Really? Wow.
Listen to this. Remember those battles he used to have against Boston? Boston fans hated him.
Yes.
They hated him when he was in Cleveland. They hated him when he was in Miami. He hated the Celtics. Then he came to the Lakers, a franchise that already has such a rivalry versus the Boston Celtics. That's got to be the one team he would not be open to playing for. I made his decision for him.
Yeah, I think we're getting LeBron for the rest of his career, you know, and the fact that he's also still coming out with Space Jam this summer. He's going to be coming out with a lot of movies and a lot of projects on the side. So L.A. is a place to have all that.
All right, Flunches.
That's all I got for you, brother.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Great questions, great topics. Okay, so let's do this when we come back. I have an update here. Laker fans, which game was more stressful? Game 7 versus Portland in 2000, Game 7 versus Boston in 2010. Got an update on that. And then got some breaking news here. Got some breaking news to try and help us in this time where we are sitting at home and looking for things to do when we are following our social distance rules. We'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. By the way, we still got Brett Dawson from The Athletic coming up at 8:30. He went to some NBA experts on some good nutrition and fitness tips. Let's just say I need to take some notes. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. All right, Funch is holding it down at the studio there. And the rest of us at home, doing our broadcast from home. Something about being at home, too. There's a kind of a relaxation to the show when you're at home. Makes it a little bit different. Okay, so this is one of the things. I got an update here as far as how we're looking on Game 7 2000 versus Game 7 versus 2010. Which game was more stressful? A lot of Laker fans, 79% say versus Boston. I'm a little surprised. I thought it'd be a little closer. John Broder says versus the Celtics because it's the green team, Nuff said. Lakers, Andy, HAD92 says the finals versus Boston, of course. Kuz Imix says Portland was such a comeback that it wasn't as stressful, which really makes no sense. I like that he I like that he tells himself in the middle of his tweet that it doesn't make sense. Game 7 was so important for so many reasons. Kobe's legacy, number 16, something the Celtics, and back-to-back championships with another chance at another three-peat. Okay, so the fans have they have spoken. Game 7 versus the Boston Celtics was more nerve-wracking to them. You know, the only thing that I could think of, is also that game that the Lakers had against the Sacramento Kings, and somebody pointed that out. Aaron Teklu pointed that out on Twitter, basically saying that Game 7 against the Kings was in Sacramento too, so that obviously was one of the more stressful games for the Lakers as well. Okay, so we got some big breaking news here, and we have been kind of waiting, from a sports perspective. Everybody's ready to get back into sports. It will happen when it happens. None of us can control it. Sports is kind of everybody's getaway. It gives them the opportunity to kind of look away from all the other things going on in life. But now with COVID-19, and how it has overlapped with sports, it's taken sports away as well. And we're trying to take every precautionary measure, be as safe as possible for fans, for players, for coaches, the whole nine yards. Now there's a lot of people. You've heard a lot of different shows. What's your favorite Netflix series on right now? What's your favorite movies and so forth? So ESPN, it is being reported that ESPN is moving up the highly anticipated Jordan documentary. Sources say that it's going to be moved up to April 19th. It's a 10-part series called The Last Dance. And it's not just on Michael Jordan. It's actually just on that whole Bulls team. But a 10-part series. And just the timing of it, I'll just talk about it from my perspective. If that thing comes out on April 19th, you better believe on that Sunday, I'm going to be shutting it down. I'm going to get to the grocery store bright and early, get what I need, and hurry up back to my couch to wait for whatever time that it comes on. I might have to shower and shave that day as well. You know, I want to look my best for this documentary. It's a 10-part series.
What are you, on a date?
It's a 10-part series. I might put on some cologne and sit on the couch and just get ready for this 10-part series. Funches, if they tried to, let's say, put this out during the NBA playoffs, I'm sorry, we wouldn't have time in the day to watch it. You know, like as good as it's going to be and everything else. But if it was in the middle of everything going on, we're going to watch it, but, you know, we'll kind of stagger it because it's a 10-part documentary. But with no sports going on, Funches, I'm going to get up that morning, get to the grocery store, get back, shower, shave, and sit on my couch and wait.
Yeah, it was reported like this was going to premiere on after Game 1 of the NBA Finals, which I couldn't be able to get into it what the NBA final was on, but since there's nothing going on, this is going to be
well.
It.
What they could have done was probably air in a 10-part series, they could have aired one for, let's say, every night off, right? Like every game that they didn't play, they could have aired one of them. And I don't know how they were going to stagger it. Maybe it's once a week. Maybe they just let the whole thing out at once. But this will be as good of a series that I think, you know, I think that any of us have, put it this way, the expectations are going to be very, very high. And I think it's going to meet those expectations. So I think it's a smart move when it's official. If it does get moved up to April 19th, just the conversation between now and April 19th will be fascinating, and more information will come out, and different players will talk about, maybe times that they played those Jordan Bulls. And then eventually when it comes out on April 19th, it will be just fantastic timing at a time where there really isn't all that much to watch.
Yeah, all the ESPN, everyone that we work with, they're saying that had a piece of this or seen a little bit of this, they're saying that it's the best thing that ESPN's has ever done.
Well, I think Michael Thompson's brother.
Yeah, that's right. He helped work on it.
And I don't know if you've been into the whole Tiger King thing going on, but...
Oh, yeah. Carol did it.
Carol definitely did it, but now we could get away from Tiger King and we could watch this 10-part documentary, this 10-part series. So hopefully this is what's coming up next. It's going to be this last dance. So we'll keep you guys posted on that. But if that thing comes out April 19th, sign me up and every other sports fan up. All right, Brett Dawson of The Athletic put out an article, I think it was yesterday, Nutrition and Fitness Tips from NBA Experts. I think Gunnar Peterson was one of those. So I don't know where everybody else is in their health life, but I'm going to be taking some notes. Brett Dawson coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. All right, Laker fans, appreciate you guys tuning in. We got Brett Dawson of The Athletic joining us here. Brett, appreciate you hopping on, man. Thank you for doing this.
Hey, no problem. I've got a lot of time on my hands, as it turns
out. We're going to go till midnight, Brett. We're going to go till midnight. So I'm scrolling and just doing a little bit of prep for the show. And I see this article. Obviously, I spent some time on The Athletic, as you know. And it says, need fitness nutrition tips while you're at home? We turn to the NBA experts. So I don't know how you're doing personally in this as far as like – just from a health perspective goes. But I got to tell you, when I saw that title, I'm like, Brett, if you're available, if you could please help out. And I'm sure there's a lot of listeners out there as well that we get into a routine, right? And routine is such a key part of everything. And I think a lot of people have just kind of fallen off their routine. At least I have. So give us kind of the background here. What different personnel, and I know Gunnar Peterson was one of the personnel that's kind of a part of this little, some of these few different questions, but who's a part of this to kind of help for healthy habits and so forth?
Yeah, so the whole thing was obviously this time of in our lives, we're just trying to come up with something we can write about that's a little off the beaten path, because there's only so much you can say about a sport that's not being played. So I'm somebody who's always kind of struggled with this and with health and fitness, and I've got a trainer right now who fortunately draws up some stuff for me, but I was thinking about people, talking to my friends who just can't be at the gym right now, and they're more gym routine people, so when the gym's taken away from you, what do you do? And so I just thought, NBA people would be, they could have some advice for people who are at home, and I thought, strength coaches might not have a lot to do right now and might be willing to participate. So we sent an email out to, I emailed pretty much every team in the league. I did email all 30 teams, and just whoever got back to me in time participated. So we did have Gunnar from the Lakers, but, we had the staff of the Grizzlies put something together, the Raptors strength and conditioning coach, the Mavericks had both their strength coach and their dietitian consultant do some stuff. The Timberwolves, the Nuggets. We had a really nice cross-section of teams that were willing to do it. And even a couple of them got it in, saw the story, got it in a little late and wanted to be included after they saw it.
That's great.
So we got them in as well.
Well, I think right off the bat, the Dallas and Denver personnel, I already don't trust. I already don't trust simply because of where the standings are. No, I'm just kidding. But no, that's great. And I think, look, I think it is very helpful. So for those who haven't got a chance to read the article, it's on The Athletic right now. You could click Need Fitness Nutrition Tips while you're at home. We turn to the NBA experts, Brett Dawson, hopping on Lakers Talk. So I'm going to actually go through this because I think the questions you propose to them, I'll let you kind of answer some of the questions, but you have some specific questions for them, and then you can maybe tell some of our listeners, give them the advice. One of the questions was, what's some good general advice for people dining in while at home?
Yeah, I think the most interesting thing of that, and the Dallas nutritionist gave some good advice on that I think was not just she gave some generally good advice, but also some very specific good advice for right now, which is one, you know, learn some new skills, learn some cooking skills while you've got this extra time. Mm-hmm. But then also, two, I think the thing she pointed out was, like, go to the grocery store with a plan. We need to not be spending a lot of time in public. We don't want to be around people as much as we can. So plan out what you're doing. Make a list of things. Obviously, she's a dietitian. She'd prefer those are a list of healthy things. But get some recipes. Find some things you'd like to try. And then have a really good idea of what you want to do when you go to the grocery store, just so you can get in and out and not be spending so much time picking things up and walking around with a cart and being around people.
Yeah, you basically just described me. I'm just like walking around, not aimlessly, but I think that happens, right? You go to a grocery store and you just, if you're hungry, everything sounds good. And I think that's great advice right there. Just come down with a plan, you know, right? On a sticky note, what it is that you want. Another question that you asked some of the trainers out there, what are some foods you'd recommend to people spending more time at home?
Yeah, and I think one of the things that came through, you know, from a range of people there. Obviously, it's the kind of nutrition advice you get all the time. Eat more fruits and vegetables, but also some lean protein type stuff. One guy suggested smoothies as like an easy way to make a meal. A lot of thought went into the idea that right now you're just more sedentary. And so you need to adjust your diet a little bit. Even if you're somebody who is pretty fit, you get out and do a lot of things. Now you may not be able to do so many of those things. And so like nutritionists or strength coaches, performance coaches, I guess, who talked about this, were saying like the kinds of things they would ask the players to eat normally, lean, you know, chicken, fish, that kind of stuff, that they would really ask players to double down on now, really even more so right now, just because you don't know what your activity is going to look like day to day. So it's just more important to focus on those things. That's advice we could all use. I know I could use every day of my life, but certainly I think right now.
Yeah, I've kind of fallen into this. So I might go a day where I'm like, all right, you know what? Good work. That wasn't, you know, that wasn't that bad. But then, you know, it's so easy because we're here. One thing I try to do is I try to go on walks, but it's not like I'm out there for, I don't know, they're just kind of 15-minute walks and then you just kind of work your way back. But I know probably what you're eating, calorie intake, all that stuff is so important. But Brett, when we're busy, I find myself eating less because I'm busy. I'm doing other things, yep. And I'm running around. When I'm sitting at home, and I don't get me wrong, I spend a lot of time prepping and things like that, and I'm kind of glued to the news, all that stuff, but I'm still here at my home. The convenience of just walking to the fridge and walking to the pantry, not exactly the greatest of game plans. So I saw on here it looks like the oatmeals of the world, the Greek yogurts. It seems like a lot of the suggestions are food that are whole foods, the vegetables, yep. The fruits, like you mentioned, the proteins. If you're going to have proteins, try and find lean proteins. Okay, how about from a fitness perspective? Gyms are closed right now. What are some of the suggestions they're giving you guys, or they gave you?
Yeah, I think a lot of what I thought was interesting, some of the actual workouts and exercise stuff was really detailed. What I really liked was some of the simple advice that they gave. You know, Gunnar Peterson from the Lakers, simple advice that I think a lot of personal trainers or strength coaches would give you is that, you know, what he said was a little bit all the time is better than a lot every now and then. Mm. And a lot of these performance coaches that responded to this answered in very similar ways, just to say, make sure you're taking some time every day even if it's just a walk, get out, walk around, just be a little bit active. You know, we had one suggestion to maybe start a competition, either with yourself, do something like a wall sit, which is something I have taken to heart from this that I've been trying to do, and they are miserable. But see where you are today, and then see where you can get next week, or alternately, find some of those things, wall sits, planks, walking, and challenge a friend and have somebody who can do those things along with you. And, you know, you can push each other. Hey, did you get your 25-minute walk in today? And a lot of this stuff is that kind of thing, 25-minute walk, a 30-second wall sit. This isn't like real detailed stuff. Anybody can do this. And I think that's what we really wanted from these people. They're people who work every day with elite athletes. But what we wanted is, what can your average Joe do? And all these things are those kinds of things.
You know what's funny is, there are probably a lot of times where I'm sitting here at home, and let's say I'm trying to come up with some ideas, or I'm trying to, whatever it is, I'm trying to game plan, or I'm just stuck on YouTube and I'm doing nothing productive. There is nothing better than going on that 15-20 minute walk, feeling the sun a little bit, just getting your heart pumping a little bit. And by the time you come back, you feel like you got new ideas, you got fresh ideas. Like, that is, I know it might sound so small, and I think a lot of times it's tough to just say, okay, I haven't been working out, or I haven't been doing anything, I'm going to go run 5 miles. Like, you do that without taking just small steps to get there, then you're probably not going to do it again. So it sounds like some of these suggestions that they have, just being active is a good idea.
Yeah, for sure. And look, there's some stuff, you know, there are some pretty detailed workouts in here that I would recommend if you're interested in that. There are some short at-home workouts that are really actually detailed, and people can see those, and they are drawn up by NBA performance coaches. But the other stuff is really simple stuff. It is as much as just get out and walk for 25 minutes. All that stuff, it does help. And a lot of people will tell you, and I think somebody in the story mentions this, I think it made it in, but that's also just good for mental health, which is something to think about right now. You're so cooped up, whether you live by yourself or whether you have family, you're all confined to a space. Just getting a little time out of that space is good to help you not dwell on what's happening every day, and not be so, not feel so trapped in a situation where you really are stuck at home. Getting out reminds you that you have some options.
Okay, so how are things going for you? Do you find yourself? I mean, obviously we're all home right now, so we're all spending a lot of time at home. But after reading this article and getting all these emails from different nutritionists and athletic trainers, these are NBA experts. Do you feel like, hey, I got to start trying some of these? Because when I read the article, in my head, it was kind of a perfect trigger for me to like, okay, hey, here's a little bit of a guide that maybe I didn't have 2 days ago.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I, as I said, I've got a guy who's drawn up some stuff for me. Give a little shout out to my guy, Frank Hawley. He's a great dude. And I've got some stuff I'm doing, some resistance bands that I have, some things I can do at home, doing a little bit of stretching and stuff just out on my patio to get out into the fresh air and do some things. But yeah, I think for sure that I've taken a few of these tips from these people as well. And I think if you don't have a plan, if you don't have something that somebody's drawn up, like one of these strength coaches gave us like a really detailed workout that you can do in about 15 or 20 minutes, Jeremy Holsoppel from the Mavericks. And it's a real whole detailed workout. Everything's there. And if there's any move in there you don't understand, you can find it on YouTube. But some of these coaches do have things that you could really go step by step, and they're actual workouts drawn up by a strength coach.
Brett, did you see the Brett Dawson hopping on from The Athletic? Did you see that maybe within the last half hour or so, that tweet on the documentary? Looks like it's going to be moved up, the 10-part series on Michael Jordan, the Bulls, Scottie Pippen. Did you see that? What's your thoughts just right off the bat? Of that docuseries?
Yes, the first thing I thought was, like, sometimes the people are right. I mean, I think the people were pushing ESPN to do that, to get it out. Yeah. Saw that kind of movement on Twitter. Smart for ESPN to do it, because by the time they were originally going to air it, we might be having some sports we didn't think we were going to have. We might not be, because we don't know where we are in terms of bringing sports back. But it makes sense right now to really put something out when we're all kind of hungry for it. I know I will be there on night one watching that. I'm excited about it. That's a fun time in NBA history, and I just think that's a cool thing to watch. I think we all get a little too caught up in comparison sometimes, and LeBron and Jordan, Kobe and Jordan, but he's a great player and just this global icon, and the way ESPN has done those kinds of things in the past, certainly the OJ thing was very different, But these long form documentaries, they bring you all kinds of new stuff, and it's fun to learn new things about players who had that kind of social global impact.
No, that insight is going to be unbelievable. Have you been one of those? Are you watching old games? I started off my show tonight talking about I was going through just Shaquille O'Neal's your greatest memories watching Shaquille O'Neal as a Laker, and I did that because yesterday his 28th birthday against the Clippers. He put up 61 points. That's a game, if you remember, Kobe passed it to Shaq to get to 61, and then Shaq threw the alley-oop to Kobe Bryant towards the end of the game. And I don't catch myself watching all these classics, but are you watching a lot of these old games? And I'm not even talking about Lakers in general, but just sports in general, or do you kind of stay away from that stuff?
I have not watched a lot of sports, actually. For me, it's watching old games is hard right now. Like we talked about it. I did a project for The Athletic where I looked at some of the old Laker games that are available on the NBA.com archive, and I did watch those. And it's fun. I really recommend people going and looking at the really old games in that archive. It's really fun to watch the games from the 60s and just see how different it is. For me, kind of watching more recent stuff particularly, and I know like the Mavericks game from this season in Dallas was such a good game. The Danny Green three-pointer at the end of overtime, end of regulation, overtime. Stuff like that. I have a hard time watching. I miss that stuff a lot right now. And any basketball game almost kind of reminds me too much of not having it. So it's been harder for me. I've been watching a lot more movies and TV shows, and I've actually kind of found myself gravitating toward stuff I've seen before. It's kind of like a video comfort food right now.
There you go. Brett, I appreciate you hopping on, and great stuff. This is definitely a different type of article, and I think can be beneficial to those that are just kind of, sitting around at home. Whether you're working, you're not working, definitely you can find some benefit to this. Brett Dawson of The Athletic has got a great article right now. Need fitness, nutrition tips while you're at home. We turned to NBA experts, interviewed a lot of different of the nutritionists. Brett, thanks for hopping on the show, okay?
Thanks, Alan. Appreciate it.
All right, man. Have a good one. All right, that's Brett Dawson right there. Okay, this is what Funches and start over on that one. This is what Funches and I are going to do when we come back. We got our Power Five, and you might think, okay, Alan, just give us the Power Five. Just give us the Power Five. Well, I'll give it to you when we come back. Just stick around. We'll come back. Power Five coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show, or I'm sorry, this is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. I wish we could just play the music in the background just for the entire show.
Me too.
Just some good rhythm in the background there. All right, so thank you to Trudell. Thank you to Brett Dawson. And as we continue to roll on the show, the conversation that I started the show off with was Shaq's greatest Laker moments. So his greatest Laker moments. And I appreciate everybody on Twitter, by the way, who had hopped on at Lakers Talk ESPN and got a lot of different people's responses. I saw Trigger, 28th birthday for Shaquille O'Neal against the Clippers back in 2000. What's crazy about that, March 2006 was the date. And what's crazy to me about that is they still hadn't won their first championship yet. So it seems like, when you look back at those Kobe and Shaq years, they just dominated the league. 2000 was a tough championship to get. And then after that, I felt like things maybe got a little bit easier for the Lakers. Don't get me wrong. I know the Sacramento Kings, that seven-game series, they always had battles against the San Antonio Spurs. But once the Lakers got that first one, I felt like it went a little bit downhill from there. It was easier to get some of those other ones. Who knows what would have happened if the Lakers didn't win that game. But that game seven was everything. Everything to the Los Angeles Lakers. As we rolled on with the show, Brian Windhorst, he continues to hop on and give some different NBA information, and that could be specifically about the latest of the NBA owners, the league office, whatever the case is. I'll continue to say this. Whatever ends up happening, I think there was an idea earlier from Jay Williams. Jay Williams had an idea about potentially playing these games on the Miami Heat owner's owner, the Carnival Cruisers, whatever the case. So he talked about maybe playing games on these Carnival Cruise Lines, testing all the players and all that. I don't know what's going to happen with the NBA. I don't know if we'll end up playing a season or not.
I don't care how it happens. I don't care what city it gets played in. I don't care if there's fans or no fans. None of that at this point means really anything to me. I think just as a Lakers fan, the only thing that matters is how great would it be to get that opportunity to try and win that NBA championship, because we've had such a great season. And who knows, this could be the best chance for the Lakers under LeBron James to win a chip. And that could go away, and if it goes away, you know it did, because there's much bigger problems in the world right now than trying to win an NBA championship. So that's kind of just a little bit of a rundown of what we've been talking about during the show. And then the last thing that I put up there, Funches, it's getting ugly on Twitter, man. It is getting ugly. It's 73% of Laker fans choose Boston Game 7, 2010, as the more stressful game than versus the Portland Trailblazers in 2000. You know what I should have put on there? This is what I screwed up on. I should have put Game 7 versus Portland 2000, Game 7 versus Boston 2010, and I should have put Game 7 versus Sacramento in Sacramento.
Yes.
Why didn't
yes.
I put that one up there?
I don't know why. But I can tell you what, I watched all those games, I was stressed, you know, the same way.
Which one were you more stressed for? I think I was more stressed for Portland.
I think I was more stressed for Boston because the chip was on the line, basically.
But didn't you feel like if you won, once you won Game 7 against Portland, you just won the championship?
I think so, yeah, because you
the
know
East
what?
Was
because
so bad.
The East was, I think they played the Pacers next, and they were no match. I think they almost
Pacers,
swept
Pacers, how about when they played...
was it the 76ers?
First year they played the Pacers.
Okay, yeah.
First year they played the Pacers.
They had no. It was like Rick Smits versus Shaq. That was no matchup.
That's the Jalen Rose. That's Mark Jackson.
Yeah, right.
That's Reggie Miller. Mm-hmm. So you had some of those guys. Okay, let's do our Power Five. Actually, I was pretty damn stressed versus Boston. I don't know what I'm talking about.
I was too. I was even here working doing highlights, and I was. Really, really stressed.
So I was at the game, and you know, at that time, obviously on the business side, right? I had only been in LA for maybe 6-7 months.
Yeah.
And I'm there, and I just couldn't talk to anybody. I'm like, I don't want to talk to anybody. And Lakers went down double digits.
Uh-huh.
I was like, it's over. No.
Yeah, I thought it was
over. It's over. We're going to lose at Staples Center. And then, you know, Kobe, Powell, Meta, Sasha with the free throws, Derek Fisher, everybody stepped up. We got it.
Yeah.
Those were stressful times. Okay, let's from a sports perspective. Obviously, big scheme of things. There's a lot of other things going on. Power Five, your favorite Shaq moments. That's how we started the show, and now we're going to list off our top five Shaquille O'Neal moments. Start me off at number five.
I'm going to start with my personal moment with Shaquille O'Neal. Was one
I disagree.
Day. One day he came to the office and
oh wow
he came to the office. I don't know if you were here that day, Alan, but years ago he came to the office and he stopped and said hi to everyone in every office, every cubicle, every edit bay back here. He must have said hi to 60 people, including myself.
Wow.
And I was shocked, man. I was starstruck.
That's a great moment, man. It's good to know that I was not there on that day.
You probably weren't here that day.
10 plus years at the station,
and
I was not there for when Shaquille O'Neal was walking around saying hello.
Yeah, all
to
of a sudden
everybody.
You just see like a big 7-foot guy in the bullpen, and you're like, whoa, Shaq!
All right, number five for me. You know, a caller brought this up, and I think it was a great point. Drafted by Jerry West, or not drafted, traded for by Jerry West. And I think that moment where Jerry West and Shaquille O'Neal are holding up that jersey together, that's a powerful, powerful moment for the Los Angeles Lakers. That's my number five. What's your number four?
Number four was the alley-hoop versus Portland. It got the Lakers the first of their three chips, and it started a dynasty, basically.
I don't remember that moment. I was... I definitely remember that moment. Okay, so that's your number four?
Yeah,
if
that's my number four.
Better than that? Okay.
Yeah, I guess
all right.
So.
All right, number four for me, his 61 points on his birthday. We talked a little bit about it. How funny is it when John Ireland tells that story and Ireland says that he asked for more tickets from the Clippers. The Clippers said no. He's like, cool. How about 61 and 23 on your you-know-what?
Yeah.
And let me know what you think about that. So that was my number four. And one of my favorite highlights to watch, just because the Laker crowd for a Clipper home game was just amazing. What's your number three?
Number three, unconventional. It's his albums that he came out with, his songs. We had a caller call earlier, said the DJ Quick and Shaq was a really good song. Also, he did a really, really good song with the RZA called No Hook, which is one of the best songs I've ever heard.
I got a song, too, for number three. You know which song it is?
What is that?
It's when Shaq was singing after beating Sacramento in Game 7. Yeah. You need to go where people know your name. Something like that. Yeah, I don't know what the heck he said. But it was a shot directly at Vlade Divac. And that's what I got at number three. What do you got at number two?
Number two was just his rookie year in Orlando breaking backboards. He shattered one backboard, and then the other one, he brought down the whole backboard.
That's right.
He brought it down to, like, you know, our level, basically.
And I promise.
It's the last time anyone ever did that.
I promise Laker fans out there, I'll never try to sing again. I don't know what that was. Number two for me, his domination versus at the time, the New Jersey Nets back in 2003. 36 points, 12 rebounds was his average in four games. Clean sweep, takes care of the Nets. Three-peat for the Lakers. What's your number one moment?
Number one for me is this.
Can you take it?
Just that scene at the Coliseum, he does that, and just 100,000 Laker fans cheering on the Lakers as they, you know, the championship parade.
And Mark Mattson becomes an icon with his dance.
Yes, dancing, that's right.
Number one for me, first championship, Kobe to Shaq, the crossover on Scottie Pippen, the lob to Shaquille O'Neal, Shaq looks at the crowd, jumps up with everybody. Lakers get their first championship with the Kobe and Shaq era. They end up winning two more. That's my top five right there. Solid five right there, Funches. Appreciate everything. Laker fans, if you want to download the show, make sure you download it on the ESPN app or on iTunes. Sliwa Show coming tomorrow. Make sure to tune in tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. to 10 with Keyshawn, Travis, and LZ. LA, have a great rest of your night. Appreciate you tuning in.